Hey, poker people, it's Sky Matsuhashi, and this is the Smart Poker Study Podcast. In episode 151, I discussed why you must utilize Flopzilla in every hand reading practice session. So if you missed it, go back, download, and listen. It's poker study time, y'all. Thanks for spending some of your valuable study time with me today. And thanks for telling a friend about the show. I really do appreciate it. And real quick, because I'm so excited for it, if you are into anime and you have Netflix, you've got to check out Death Note. The story is this kid picks up a notebook called the Death Note, obviously. And if you write somebody's name in the Death Note notebook, while you're picturing their face in your mind, they die of a heart attack, unless you specify some other type of death like drowning or a car crash. I'm on episode number 23 right now out of 36 total, and it is just an incredible series. At first, when I first read the synopsis for it, I thought, how do you turn this into a series of episodes? I can understand one movie, like, you know, hour and a half, 2 hour kind of thing. But how do you make 36 episodes at like 20 minutes a pop? Well, they nailed it. And they took the story to places that I just would have never imagined. It's a great detective story slash a murder mystery. And my wife and I just love it. We watch one or two episodes every night. So I really recommend that you check it out. It is subtitled, so you have to pay attention. You can't be watching while you're doing the dishes or anything. But you will be hooked after just two episodes, I guarantee. So please check out Death Note. Alrighty, it is time for some hand reading. I won't keep you waiting any longer. In class one, I gave you my four-step hand reading process. Class two, I discussed the most important piece of software that you need for great off-the-felt hand reading practice. Of course, that was Flopzilla. Today in class three, I'll talk about having a growth mindset and avoiding that fixed mindset when it comes to hand reading and poker in general. So hand reading is a skill that can be developed over time with lots of work and the proper mindset. And in class four, I'll get into asking the right questions of yourself and your opponents to take your hand reading to the next level. So please visit the show notes page for everything I discussed today, along with screenshots and links at www.smartpokerstudy.com/pod152. Alrighty, let's do this! Gambatte! Oh, in case you don't know what gambatte means, it's a Japanese word that means let's do this and good luck to us, or good luck to you, or do your best, or I'll do my best. It means all of that rolled into one. So, say it with me. Gambatte!
And now for our feature presentation.
Alrighty, so let's talk about growth mindset, or having a growth mindset, versus having a fixed mindset. So, a necessary evil within hand reading is making assumptions pre-flop. You know, you're assuming somebody's range, whether they're opening the pot, calling you, three betting, whatever the case is. And when you assume ranges, you can often be wrong. They could show up with something that, well, you just didn't expect them. You're also going to be assuming how your opponents will approach their position, their hand, the situation, whatever the case is. And of course, once again, when you assume, you can make mistakes. You're also assuming that they'll react and act in some sort of logical manner. Maybe they won't follow the logic that you would actually do, but there's got to be some kind of logic there. And of course, again, when you assume how they'll react or act in specific situations, you could be wrong. And when you're wrong in all these various aspects of hand reading and just playing poker in general, what you have to do is learn from your mistakes. And the best way or the best mindset to have when you're trying to learn from your mistakes is a growth mindset, not a fixed mindset. And I learned a lot about fixed mindset versus growth mindset from a book called, it's just called Mindset by Carol S. Dweck. And here's a couple important things right here. She describes having a fixed mindset as believing that your qualities are carved in stone, whereas a growth mindset is the belief that your basic qualities are things that you can cultivate through your efforts. So a lot of people think to themselves, because growing up, they have a tough time with math, for example. They think to themselves, oh, I just can never understand math. I can do plus and minus, and that's about it. And with that fixed mindset in place, they never strive to do math problems. They never think to themselves, I can do this. I need to figure it out. When you have that fixed mindset, you're just limited in your beliefs. And as soon as you are given a math problem, the first thought in your mind is, oh, crap, math. How the frick am I supposed to do math? But if you have a growth mindset, well, as soon as you see that math problem, even if you're not good at it, you're going to say, hey, I can Google how to solve this and figure it out myself. I can ask a friend how to solve it. I can put some hard work into it, work out the numbers, work out the formulas, and do this for myself. There is a way for me to solve this problem. And that's what a growth mindset is. And throughout this book, I'm actually holding it in my hand right now. There are some great little notes, some things that I made, notes in the margins, and some areas I underlined. Page four, a note that I left myself in the margin. It says, mindset can turn failure into a learning experience, into a positive learning experience. True dat. Let's see here. What else here? One part of the book on page 23, she says, students with a growth mindset continue to show the same high level of interest, even when they found the work very challenging. And what that means, and she went into it in other parts of this page here in this chapter, is that the fixed mindset people, the students that she was researching, they quit right away. When the going gets tough, they just quit, because if you fail at something, it means that you are a failure. But if you don't even try it in the first place, you never fail. Great, I'm a winner, is kind of the mindset that a fixed mindset can develop right there. So you want to avoid that. When you encounter a problem, have that growth mindset in place and know that with a little bit of work, maybe with a little bit of research, asking some people, and just time spent trying to figure it out, you can figure it out. Another part of the book here, let me see, page 147, she said this, kids with the fixed mindset are the ones who react to taunting and bullying with thoughts of violent retaliation. And I kind of thought about this in poker terms, you know. If you've got that fixed mindset in place, maybe people with a fixed mindset, maybe they're more likely to react negatively when it comes to like bad beats and stuff. And they're the ones that go on tilt quite often, or maybe violent tilt, throwing the mouse across the room, wanting to punch a hole in the wall, that kind of a thing. Maybe with a growth mindset, you know, you encounter a little bit of resistance, you make a mistake, you get a bad beat, you just lose your stack, whatever the case is. Maybe with a growth mindset, the way you deal with those, you think, well, I did something wrong here. Let me figure out the problem and work to address it. That's what the growth mindset is. The fixed mindset just says, screw this, gets mad, bashes the keyboard, whatever the case. Let's see here, another page. Right here, page 175, she says, praising children's intelligence harms their motivation and it harms their performance. And she goes on to say, if success means they're smart, then failure means they're dumb. That's the fixed mindset. So when you are playing poker and you happen to make some kind of mistakes, you lose your stack, you get knocked out of the tournament because of the way you played, don't think of that as, man, I am too dumb, I am never going to get this. Think of it as a growth opportunity moment. You aren't dumb just because you got knocked out because you lost your stack. This is an opportunity for you to work on whatever caused you to lose your stack or to get knocked out of the tournament. You're not dumb, you're just a poker player who is always learning. And the final thing I wanted to say here, let me see, this was a great message on page 180. She says this, it must be a terrible thing to feel that everyone is evaluating you and you can't show what you know. We want you to know that we are not evaluating you. We care about your learning and we know that you've learned your stuff. We're proud that you've stuck to it and kept learning. Now, that is a great message. That's something that you can basically just tell yourself in those times when you're maybe experiencing a huge downswing, but you're continuing to study, you're continuing to work on your game, but you just haven't seen maybe a turnaround in your profits or your win rates. Just know that as long as you keep on working, you're doing the right thing. Eventually, things should turn around for you and you should be back to your winning ways at some point. But just keep up the studying, but be proud of yourself for the fact that you are studying, that you're putting in the work to improve that game of yours. Alrighty, so that was just a little snippets from the book. Once again, it was called Mindset by Carol S. Dweck, PhD. So she really does know her stuff. I love this book. I found it very interesting. And the next thing I want to talk about is some bad words in poker. And the words are specifically can't, won't, don't, and never. And not only bad words in poker, but just bad words in life, general life bad words, whatever. So the first word, can't. Let's say you catch yourself saying this, I can't figure out pot odds math on the fly. Well, That's kind of a negative, limiting belief right there. That's a fixed mindset. Instead, you can turn it into something like, I just need to practice pot odds over and over off the felt and make cheat sheets to help me learn the most common pot odds calculations. Bam! You turn that negative, fixed mindset thought into a positive growth mindset. I am going to learn this kind of thought. The next bad word was won't. For example, I won't be able to figure out this opponent. Well, let's flip that into something like, everyone has a weakness. I'll keep digging until I find his. Great, that is a growth mindset right there. I'm going to work to figure out this opponent. The next bad word was don't. For example, I don't have the time to study. Instead, let's change this into, how can I make or take the time to study? Great, now instead of just complaining that you don't have the time, you're going to actively work to find the time. 5 a.m. in the morning, 10 p.m. at night, during your lunch break at work, whatever. And the final bad word, never. For example, I'm never going to get this. Well, let's just change this to, I can do this. I can get it. I've just got to work to figure it out. There you go. We're flipping the script, taking those bad words and those fixed mindsets, turning them into positive growth mindsets, kind of affirmations or sentences or just ways of thinking, ways of approaching what you've got going on. Alrighty, so like we were saying earlier, you're going to be making assumptions, and when you're making assumptions, you're often going to be wrong. And when it comes to just learning from mistakes in general, you need to be taking notes, whether it's opponent mistakes, mistakes on ranges that you assign, take notes on those opponents or even the opponent type. What I want you to do too is keep a mistake log. So it could be like just a page out of your notebook. Whenever you make a mistake, take note of it. And if you make that mistake again, put a little extra check mark or a little annotation x2, x3, whatever the case is, to show you how many or how often you're making these mistakes. And if you catch a mistake being made 4, 5, 6 times, well, that is definitely a leak and you've got to get in there and work to fix it. And one of the great ways to learn from your mistakes in handreading is to update your saved ranges in Flopzilla. First, and we spoke about this last week, you need to have ranges for 2-bet ranges, 3-betting, 4-betting, 2-bet calling, 3-bet calling, all that kind of stuff. But as you're using those ranges when you're doing hand reading practice, update those occasionally if necessary. If you catch your opponents always calling with King 7 suited or better, but you have it at King 9 suited or better in Flopzilla, well, make that change, you know? You've seen so many instances where this hand was played in this way, put that to the range. And the great thing about poker and hand reading is that as soon as one hand ends, you get another opportunity to practice these skills with the very next hand you're dealt or when you're doing reviews off the felt. So hand reading is a skill that can be developed, and having a growth mindset and accepting mistakes as part of the learning process is a requisite to developing this skill. I know you're looking for a change of pace from PokerStars or 888 Poker or Ignition, so why don't you join me on America's Card Room? It's US and rest of world friendly, and it's been around since 2001. I play a lot of micro stakes cash and a few tournaments there, and my screen name is Frisky Misky, and it would be grand if you could join me. Just visit www.smartpokerstudy.com/ACR, click through the link there, and use offer code SPSPOD so you can get a killer 27% rakeback deal. You'll also be supporting the show by going through this link and when you download the software and use offer code SPSPOD. And in case screen names are a trouble for you, here's a couple potential names that you could choose. Control Your Tempura and Thunderwear. And here's a couple shout-outs for this episode. Jonathan Widers purchased the Smart HUD. He's using it to crush his MTT, his sit and go, and his cash opposition. Thank you very much, Jonathan. I appreciate it. And Daniel De Castro decided to support me on Patreon with a monthly contribution. I really do appreciate that, Daniel. Because of people like you and Jonathan, you guys are keeping me keeping on. And if you want to support on Patreon, it's patreon.com/smartpokerstudy. And there's various levels and rewards attached to those levels of support. So thank you very much. Oh, and I cannot forget about OG Omar Gutierrez, He purchased the Getting the Most Out of Poker Tracker 4 webinar from me. So thank you very much, Omar. And Poker Tracker 4 is one of the best softwares besides Flopzilla out there to help us poker players improve our games. So I'm really happy you decided to get that, Omar. If you have any questions, if anybody has any questions about PT4, just send them on in. I'm more than happy to answer. So if you want to support the show like these three gnarly poker peeps, visit the show notes for links to show your support the same way that they did. Alrighty, back to class, poker people. Alrighty, so let's talk about just having a growth mindset within poker here. So the fact that you're listening means that you probably have a growth mindset. And I say probably because maybe you tune out when I talk about math or when I talk about player types or any other specific topic, and maybe you tune out because you can't seem to learn that stuff. You need to take heart, and all you need is practice. Spend the time, take notes, drill yourself, come up with cheat sheets, whatever you need to do to study the topic at hand, and it will come to you eventually. So let's talk about some areas where people might have kind of a fixed mindset. One of them is transitions between games. You know, you're going from cash to MTT, MTT to sit and go to cash, whatever the case is. Oh, no limit hold'em to PLO, you know. The first thing you need to do is stick with one format at a time. When you're jumping back and forth, you just really can't learn much. Even if you do have a growth mindset and you think, hey, I can study no limit hold'em, PLO, and tournament play all at the same time. No, you can do that, but you're better off sticking with one format, going over one topic at a time, looking at the fundamentals, spending 1 week at a time, 1 hour per day per topic, and, you know, trying to learn it, trying to master it before you move on to the next. Another area that people have a hard time with is new statistics within their HUDs and how to use them, of course. So, for example, aggression factor, aggression frequency, one after calling river bets, that kind of a thing. What you need to do is take the time to learn the formulas and then go through your database and filter for hands related to that formula. Go through, review the hands, look for mistakes, look for positive plays made, and well, basically learn from those hands played in relation to those stats. And of course, add those stats to your HUD. If you see it every time you look at a player's stats right there on the HUD, you're more likely going to just kind of grow your understanding of things like AF, AFQ, and whatever other stat you're trying to work on. Another area where players may have a fixed mindset are like new plays and oftentimes aggressive plays like check raising, three betting, bluff four betting, and donk leading pots. What you want to do is whatever kind of specific play that you're having a hard time with, study each one for 1 week at a time, and you want to test them out in every single session. So if you're studying check raise for this current week right here, then every session that you play, make it a goal of check raising maybe like between 5 and 10 different times. Maybe you're check raising for value, maybe you're check raising as bluffs, but your goal is to practice this play so that you learn more about it. And of course, you want to filter for facing that play and review those hands. So when it comes to check raising, filter for opportunities where you faced a check raise, try to hand read those opponents and figure out what they're doing. What can you learn about their check raises? And lastly, we might have a fixed mindset when it comes to visiting new brick and mortar card rooms or going to a new online environment. Like if you're switching from 888 Poker to America's Card Room, for example, it's a new environment. There's new players. Possibly they use different strategies. They open with four big blinds instead of three big blinds at your old place. For tournaments, everybody's min opening, whereas you're used to 2.5 to 3x opens. Whatever the case is, what you want to do when you get to that new environment is take plenty of notes. Look for differences between the way your old opponents played versus these new opponents. You want to, of course, look for good tables and players to target because those are where, that's how you're going to gain most of your chips. And of course, make friends between the staff and the players. Just learn the staff names, learn the dealer's names, say hi every time, all that kind of stuff. If you make friends, well, they might help you and guide you to profitable tables and profitable players to play against. And if you make friends at the table, they might actually take it a little easy on you. When they flop the nuts, they might just check behind to save you a little bit of money. They might slow play against you. You won't be doing that against them, of course, but they may do so against you, which might save you a little bit of money. Alrighty, so when it comes to hand reading, I've talked about hand reading for a super long time. I've put out just lots of information about hand reading. And I helped one player by the name of Ken, and we've been emailing back and forth and stuff. But in a recent email that just came today, actually, he said this. "So after 6 weeks of working on hand reading, I must say, oh damn, I have done well over the years, but my improvement in this area has been incredible. The results have been even better, but running hot as well doesn't hurt. Due to time limitations of 20 to 30 minutes per day, but sometimes more, I still have a few weeks more that I want to dedicate to hand reading and to working more with Flopzilla. But the time spent has been more than worth it. I will be trying to increase this time as well, working on my game. I have found it totally amazing that I am reading the hand ranges others are playing now with about 85 to 90% accuracy within the ranges that I give them pre-flop. But every so often, I miss by a mile, but I am learning from those instances as well. Even more, I'm adding things from your book as well. I have started game tape about a week ago, and yesterday, no kidding, I bought 20 one-subject notebooks to journal different subjects. I've been writing down my thoughts on my play over the years for each game I played, but this will be a lot different. I may never write a book, but the idea of going back over my journals for each area will help me refresh my game. In September, I am going to start Jonathan Little's new book and do everything your book advised me to do to learn from books. I do look forward to seeing this technique used to the max and properly documented in my first journal." Well, that is awesome, Ken. I've already replied to you via email, but I'll say it here. That is super cool. I am so glad that you've been taking the time working hard on improving the hand reading skills. It's pretty obvious that you have a growth mindset around hand reading and poker in general. And my hope for the rest of the audience is that you put in the time like Ken has to improve your hand reading skills. It really does come with a lot of time and a lot of practice. It's hard work, but well worth it. Just as you heard from Ken here, it's obviously well worth it. And it sounds like Ken is a much stronger player, so I just hope I don't have to face him at the ACR tables. I just said don't. So let me rephrase that negative thinking. I hope I get to face Ken and destroy his superior hand reading capabilities, just as I know he'll try to destroy me. So I will see you at the tables, Ken, and we will pit our hand reading skills against each other. Good luck. Challenge! Here's my challenge to you for this episode. Overcome any areas where you have a fixed mindset. You need to catch yourself using those quote-unquote bad words that I discussed earlier, can't, won't, don't, and never. When you say one of these words, take note of it and flip the script on those negative thoughts. Turn them into positive, can-do, growth-oriented thoughts and ideas that propel your studies and your game into new echelons of greatness. Now it's your turn to take action and Scooby-Dooby-Doo something positive for your poker game.
Now get it on.
So this episode is not complete until you head to the show notes page to learn a little bit more at www.smartpokerstudy.com/pod152. Thank you so much for listening today. If you can type the words Smart Poker Study, you can find me on Twitch, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and now Anchor. And speaking of Anchor, I've been putting out daily little segments on Anchor that I also turn into podcasts. And you can find that podcast on, through Google, through iTunes, through a lot of different podcatchers out there. All you have to do is search for Smart Poker Study on Anchor. So I have a daily podcast and this weekly podcast. Please check it out. And you can also hear this show on your Amazon Echo device. Just tell it to play the Smart Poker Study podcast on TuneIn. And of course, send those emails to sky@smartpokerstudy.com. Alrighty, poker peeps. Next week in episode 153, I'll throw a little Q&A action your way with three brand spanking new questions and my always great answers, if I do say so myself. We'll get back to hand reading the following week. Word of mouth is the best advertising, so thank you very much for sharing this show with other poker people. Your sharing and caring is what helps us grow. Until next time, study smart, play much, and make your next session the best one yet. I wanna